As always, so good to be here. I think it's been, I don't know how many years now it's been, but I can only say, how many?
I said
quite a few. Quite a few. I can only say that we've gone through many things together, and I'm so glad to be here, and we're going to lift him up. Pray with me, saints. Father God, we thank you for this time, for it is the only time that we have. Whether we're sick or whether we're well, we're still alive and you're worthy of all the praise. Glory to your name alone. You are all that we need, all that we have, and we focus right now only on you. Guide us right now, God, for these are the most treacherous times in our world where the devil is stealing souls, but we declare that we are heaven bound. We are heaven bound. We're not going to let nothing turn us around. This life we're living is not the end, but yet the beginning. Guide us now. How do we deal with the world that's determined to go the other way? And how do we stay focused on you? Bless us with a word that'll keep us in these times. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. My brothers and my sisters, there's nothing more crazier than seeing the world as it is. And as you know, there's so many people on the fence. And I found a message to match the time, and it may not be, as we say in the South, it's going to fit you, but it may not make you feel too good, but it will fit you if you let it. It is a word to help someone who's looking at the world with 7.96 billion people in chaos in every pocket of the world. It makes you kind of want to stop believing, stop caring. But this word is to tell someone, don't lose your faith. Don't lose your hope. The Bible is broken down into a couple of words, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Then where would I find instructions for the saints for this room? Revelations chapter 3, the book of the apocalypse. Revelations chapter 3, the book that most people are afraid to go to. If these are the end of times, you need to know what God is saying to the church. What is God saying to the church of Jesus Christ and to the churches? There were seven of them. This is the last church. But this is the word that God gave me. Revelations chapter 3, starting at verse 14. If you get it, say amen. In your hearing, hear these words. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things say to the amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I'm wealthy and have no need of nothing. And you are not. And know not that you are wretched, miserable, poor and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich in white garment, that you may be clothed in the shame, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I've overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. And the last verse, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. If I had to put a title to the text, I'm going to title this one, You're Not Fooling God. You're not fooling God. Two ministers were having a discussion, one young and one old, and the young minister says, Pastor, I got a question for you. Why is it that when all these new people join the church, get saved, they start causing problems in the church? The pastor says, well, it's really not the problem with the new people in the church, the problem's with the old people in the church. He said, what do you mean? See, the new people see the problem in the church. The old people are used to it. What happens when you become complacent? What happens when you just say, just let it be? I'm not going to argue about that anymore. Where you just want things to go like they're going. I want to welcome you to the church that is 35 miles away from Philadelphia, a church that is known for its hot springs and its cool waters, a church that doesn't like conflict, a church that just, even the devil could be a deacon, a church that doesn't get in, doesn't have an opinion about abortion, doesn't have an opinion about gay rights, doesn't have an opinion about nothing. Just come on in and we'll sit down and we'll have a talk. A church that has no stance. A people that have no stance. Then hear this as your first word. The truth. If you do not stand for Christ in this world, you will not stand with him in heaven. The truth. The truth. If you do not stand for Christ on earth, in your life, you will not stand with him in heaven. Verse 14, and to the angel of the church of Laodicea write these things, saying the amen, the faithful, the true, the witness, the beginning of creation. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold, that I wish you were either hot or cold, so that because you are lukewarm, that I vomit you out of my mouth. The text is really screaming, God is watching you. God is watching me. God is watching you. God is watching you. This text is something you won't really hear a lot of people preach it, but they have to preach it, because if these are the end of days, we need to start acting like the church of Jesus Christ. We have to act like the church. And you ain't got to clap, because I'm going to clap for myself. You got to start acting like the church, somebody. You got to start being Christians. We got to stop. We're not political. We're not anything. We're Christians. We're not a black church. We're not a white church. We better be a church of Jesus Christ. There were seven letters sent out in the book of Revelations to the church of Ephesus, the church of Smyrna, the church of Pergamum, the church of Thyatira, the church of Sardis, the church of Philadelphia, and the last church, the church of Laodicea. There were rebukes that went out to every church that the church is guided and run by Jesus Christ. And the only one who can tell the church what's really wrong with it is Jesus Christ. The president can't. The congregation can't. Christ alone is CEO, executive officer of the church. Amen. This church was known because it was lukewarm. It was neither hot nor cold. What does that mean? Christ has a problem with people who want to stay on the fence, I don't want to have an argument about that. I don't want to have a discussion about that. Just let's just sit in and let's just let it be. If it's almost like I'm satisfied, so I'm not going to push it. What if secretly you stop trusting God because you really believe more in yourself than you believe in God? What if you're not depending on God because you have your health and you have your strength? What happens to a church and to a people when Christ isn't first? What happens to a church when we stop talking about sin and we keep talking about success? What happens to a church when we stop talking about a savior and keep talking about what you can do? What happens when we stop talking about hell and keep talking about the golden rule? What happens when we stop talking about judgment and we start talking about living your best life? What happens when we stop talking about Christ and only focus on making you happy? Does anyone know Christ is coming back? Does anyone know? Can you praise God? Are you excited about that? Does anyone know Christ is coming back? This is one of the most, it is a hard text because you are not going to be able to fake your way into heaven. How successful you are on earth, financially, even politically, socially, has no correlation to if you're going to get into heaven. Christ is the door, and only he will decide, and he will judge you. He will judge you. I want you to understand in Revelations 20:11, there's a text that scares me to death, and it says, and then I saw a great white throne, and on it sat on him whose face faced the earth, and from heaven the earth fled. And it says, and I saw the dead, the small and the great, standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, and the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works. What am I saying? Beloved, God, you have a supreme court on earth, but that's not the court you need to worry about. There is a true judge, and he will judge. They called him the Amen. And that means the truth, nothing but the truth. Coming from 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes and in him a man. What I present to you is this, a predicament for a Christian who's lukewarm, someone who is lacks passion, someone who lacks force, someone who doesn't understand. In life, there's some things that need to be hot. Coffee should be. There you go. Soup should be. Your marriage should be. Come on now. Something should be cold. Ice cream should be cold. Salad should be cold. Coke should be cold. Pepsi should be cold. But what about a Christian? What should a Christian be? Thank you. If you'd have said cold, I'd be like, we're done. Which is, yeah, just ruined this. This is the test for a lukewarm Christian. This is a simple test. The test is, are you comfortable with the way the world is right now? Are you comfortable with everything that's going on right now? Are you okay with everything? Is it benefiting you? Are you so sure in yourself? Are you pleased with everything that's going on? Is it all about you? Are you satisfied? Does your faith and your hope rest in your wealth and your health? And if you're satisfied, I need to tell you, you're a lukewarm Christian. Do you spend more time thinking about your money than you think about God? Do you go to church regularly? Do you serve? Do you struggle with temptation? Do you struggle with sin? Do you struggle with addiction? With those problems, do you even pray? What do you do when you have a problem? Do you share it or are you embarrassed? Do you feel that you'll pick yourself up by your bootstraps? If you think that you're all that, then you are a lukewarm Christian. See, if you think that you're all that, there's a text in John 9:1 that tells the story of Jesus Christ walking with the disciples and he saw a blind man. Mom, you'll love this story because Jesus says, why is that man blind? And they said, because of the sin of his mother, the sin of his father, the sin that he created. But he was born blind. And Jesus Christ said that he was born blind for the glory of God. God came to him and he bent down, he spit on the ground and he made a salve. And all of a sudden he made this little thing and he put it on the man's eye and he told, go bathe in the pool of Siloam. And the man went and he came back and he could see, but he didn't know what Jesus looked like because Jesus left. But then all of a sudden the Pharisees and Sadducees, they saw him, but then all of a sudden he went into the temple and he told them, I can see, I can see, I can see. And they said, how can you see? Oh my God, God get glory. And he goes, Jesus Christ did it. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees said, no, Jesus didn't do it. He said, no, it was Jesus. No, he didn't. Then all of a sudden they said, Jesus is evil. And the man said, I don't know what Jesus is, but I know he healed me. Then all of a sudden they said, get out. We don't believe you. We'll get his mother and father. His mother and father came and they said, is this your son? They said, yes. They said, well, then how did he get healed? They said, we don't know. He's old enough. Ask him. They brought him back. And guess what? He had the same story. This man called Jesus, this silly man named Jesus healed me on the Sabbath. And they said, that is evil and he's wicked. And he says, no, how can someone be wicked? And he did something so good to me because I was blind all my life and now I can see. And they told him to get out again. And guess what he realized? He really could see, but they couldn't. What happens when people you think can see can't? Do you have vision? Does anyone know God's guiding your life? Can anyone praise God for today? That God is God in my life. That God is ahead of my life. That God is God in my life. It's not me. If I have eyes, but I cannot see who's really keeping me. You're blind. This is my second point. For the person who thinks they have it all, you are a people who have a flag but not a country. You are a people. You have a flag, but you have no country. If you are Christian and you don't find your purpose in Christ, you have the flag, but you have no home. Verse 17 says these words to you, because you say, I am rich, you have become wealthy, and you have need of nothing, and you do not know, I'll repeat it, you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. When you've lost your vision, the Laodiceans, they didn't understand, can money buy everything? Can success buy everything? Do you know that if you know something and you do not do what you know, you are considered wretched? Do you know that if you're supposed to serve God and you don't serve God, you are considered wretched? Do you know that if God has woke you up this morning and you don't give him praise, you know what you are considered? If God has done something for you, then you should spend your life saying, I just want to praise God. I just want to glorify God. I just want God to get all the glory. I just want him to know how much I love him because he's worthy of all the praise. This is one of those texts. If your security is in you, you have no security. Look at what, if you have not Christ, you cannot have the heaven. You are people who saying, I'm a Christian. But truly, you're not. You will not go to heaven. You have the flag, but you have no nation. America says it's a Christian nation, but is it a Christian nation? But that's not your problem with America. What are you? You have to make a decision. John 14:5 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are wolves. You will know them by the fruit they bear. If a Christian is a Christian, they will do everything they can to please God. But if a Christian is lukewarm, they will do everything to please themselves. And if you are that Christian, you're fooling yourself. See, you all know what mom and dad used to say. You can fool some of the people some of the time. But can you fool God any of the time? The Laodiceans had forgotten who God was. That's before you today. With all that the world is going through, I got a silly question. Is God still good? Yes. Can someone praise God? Is anyone crazy enough with all that's going on? Gas prices, inflation, race problems. And can anyone just say, I still praise God. I still praise God. I still praise God. I will praise God every day God gives me. Because guess what? My life is not based on situations. My life is based on Jesus Christ, and that's all I live for day in, day out. I still praise God. There's nothing in this world that will make me upset because I finally made a decision. I gave my life to Christ. There's nothing. And if anything is able to steal your joy, you do not have. My last point is simple. Let him in. Let him in. And as many as love me, I rebuke. This is verse 19. But I want you to repent and be zealous of me. Behold, I stand at the door knocking. Anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come in. But even better, he says, I will let him sit on my throne with me. What am I telling someone? I need you to remember who you are. Do we have any Christians in the room? Any Christians? Any hot Christians? I don't want lukewarm. I want hot Christians. Can you praise God? I'm looking for somebody hot for God. Can you stand up if you hot for God? I want somebody to stand up. I'm just hot for God. Hey, I love God. I love God. I love God on Monday. I love God on Tuesday. I love him on Wednesday. How about Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and on Sunday? Oh my God, I kick up my heels. Do you love God? You all on a camp and y'all made sure y'all came in. Come on now. Some people love God. And you are the people the Bible talks about. I present to you an option. There are three types of Christian. A cold Christian who's just, I don't want nothing to do with God, but I know him. A lukewarm Christian in the text. And a hot Christian Like David, my heart panted for God for day in. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I present to you an invitation. You had better remember who you are. These days are the days of the fall. There will be some who say they are Christians and they will fall. But there will be some who will stand, and they will stand for Christ. And they alone will go to heaven. That's what this is about. What profit a man to gain the world and lose your soul? You see, you think all this is happening because of, I don't know what you want to blame it on. But this is where the great divide comes in. This is where some people will choose hell and some people will choose heaven. And the people in the middle, but I got a question. Have you made up your mind? Is there anyone deciding? I will not lose my soul. I will not lose my soul for my kids, for the economy, for the president. I won't lose my soul for an issue. I will not lose my soul. I will not. I will not lose my soul. Before you stands a text that says you cannot stand in the middle. So then I ask you, have you made the decision? Jesus is at the door knocking. Whoever opens it, you welcome him in. You see, God is not trying. I always thought this text was for people who are unsaved, and it's not. Jesus is saying, you need to decide whether you're going to be hot or cold. So that's what's before you. I could care less about issues on abortion right now. I want to talk about your soul. I don't care about issues of the January the 6th. I care about your soul. I don't care about gas prices. I shouldn't have bought the car that I bought. I care about your soul. I'm not really caring about your marriage, you married her, or you married him. I care about your soul. Have you made a decision? And no decision is a decision. There's a story about a man who decided to take a cruise, my brother. He took a cruise, Royal Caribbean, but he did something crazy. He brought his food with him because he didn't want to eat their food because he thought somehow he was going to get a discount. 7-day cruise. After the 5th day, guess what? He ran out of food. Then ate peanut butter crackers all day, all night long. He decides to go up, buffet line going crazy. He decides and asks the person, can I have some? And the waiter's like, sure. How much, what do I pay? Sir? Just what do I pay? If not, I'll just write an IOU. And the waiter starts laughing. He says, get the manager. You're being rude. Manager comes, sir, what are you talking about? How do I pay for this food? And the manager says, sir, it's already paid for. And why do I say that? Because for you who are in this room, Christ has already paid the ticket for you. How do you pay? He died on the cross. He paid. Nails in his hands. He paid. Thorn on his head. He paid. 6 hours on the cross. He paid. How do you pay? You go through a little something right now in 2022 and you don't want to make a decision for Christ. How do you pay for that? How do you pay for your soul? He's paid already. He stayed on the cross and he said words like, it's finished. He paid. So he opened up the doors of the church now. This is the time. All that are lost, you have to come back. Christ is coming back. You can tell it by the weather. The storms will not stop. The earthquakes in South Carolina, North Carolina, earthquakes around the world, the tsunamis. The earth is screaming, come back, Jesus. My job is simple. You need to come in now. Stop watching the news. Get your soul together. Get your soul. It is not important. Who cares what happens today when your eternity is resting on your decision? Will you be hot for God now? Because you cannot go to heaven cold. You cannot go to heaven lukewarm. You have to be hot for Christ. So we open up the doors. Is there one? Come. But I got one better. Are there any hot Christians who want to pray? Can we pray? Can we pray? Can we pray? Then come, let's pray. Can we pray? Can we pray that we get it right, that we don't get mixed up in issues, situations? Answer a question. You have a war. Has the world ever not had wars? Has the war ever been fair? So my question is simple. What's changed? Why do we want to give up Christ now? Has God changed?
No.
Has he gotten weaker?
No.
My time is perfect. Has he stopped being good?
No.
Then why won't we stand for him in 2022? You have writing everywhere for everything, but you don't see any Christian saying, God is love. God does not judge. God is all God wants you to do. We don't care about these issues. We are not political. We are heaven bound. We're going to heaven. And in heaven, there are people of all colors, all types, little, short. They even look like you. Young as you. But grab someone's hand, please. The church has got to remember why it's here. You are not here for yourself.
That's right.
I could care less if you got an RV, if you got a car. I'm happy for you. But please use the RV. Put Jesus is good on the back of it, somebody. When you stop and you see someone hurting, help them. God bless you to be a blessing. And when you forget that, you lose your blessing. Like the Church of Laodicea. You've been so blessed to now you are corrupt. If you do not use what you have for God's glory, if you don't pay on this side, you will pay on the other side. God will not be fooled. That's all this is about. You are the salt on the earth. The world is shaking, but you're supposed to have a foundation that is unshakable. The reason the world is shaking so that finally people can see you. They're like, why are you not afraid? I trust the Lord. What? The world's going crazy. I trust the Lord. People hate. I trust the Lord. Are you angry? I trust the Lord. With cancer, I trust him. Diabetes, I trust him. With hate, I trust him. I trust him with me. And if you do not, you will not see him. That's all this is about. God is calling you home and saying, get ready. I won't come back until you get in. Get in the phone. Be about his business. This world is temporal. There's nothing on earth that doesn't get old. Whew. But God is everlasting to everlasting. You are supposed to meet. We're supposed to be meeting in heaven one day. That's what this is about. When the gospel is preached, it's to preach to someone and say, Mom, even if you leave one day, we'll see each other again in heaven. Can we pray about what God wants to do in your life, that one day we'll see each other in heaven? Is that okay? Father God, we thank you. Thank you for this time. All that you've given are given. They have to be ready for the shakeup, for the fallout. But I pray, God, that they'll stand. They will stand when the winds start blowing like they are now. They'll stand when people want to decide to hate more. People want to decide for sides. And they'll decide that I'm not standing for anything. I stand for Christ. That they'll decide to be a haven. They'll decide to be representatives, ambassador for you. That, God, they're hot for you. That they'll say, for Christ I live. For Christ I die. My hope is in Christ. I do nothing but breathe Christ. Christ in the morning. Christ in the afternoon. Christ at noonday. Christ at night. I live for Christ. That our lives are based on this one thing. To God be the glory. To God be the glory in my sickness, in my infirmity. If God woke me up this morning, I will glorify the name. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. That I will consider no thing important, but spend my life glorifying God. I'll spend my life giving him what is rightfully his. And when this world ends, Father, I pray that you receive those in the circle. One by one, will be flying up like a parade, coming in. And you will be saying, well done, well done, well done, well done, well done, well done. For we were faithful over a few things. Like in that text, you will make us rule over many. Help us be faithful for the little things. When the world is falling away, I pray that we can stand for Christ. To God be all the glory. Nothing else, Father. We want nothing else but to represent you, that when you see us one day, you will be pleased with our service. But that's all this is about. One day you'll ask, what did we do with the Sunday? What did we do with our life? And we want to say, we spent it living for you. Bless us now. Keep us now. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Sam.
Thank you, brother.
Somebody praise God.